Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
All right. I've got a few friends that are going to join me up here. Guys, if you want to come on up, that would be delightful. I'm going to have a seat. Is that okay? No, really. Is this okay? Yeah? Okay. If you know me at all, if you've spent any amount of time with me, and these guys will confirm, I like to tell stories. Don't look at my wife right now. I love to tell stories, and if you've spent any long amount of time with me, you know that I tell the same stories fairly often. I feel like stories themselves, they have this ability to bring out emotion, to create emotion within us. Whether it's making us laugh, right, or making us cry, or making us scream in terror. For some reason, there's a large demographic of people that really like horror movies. I'm not in that group. I'm kind of a scaredy cat. But stories have this ability to create emotion within us. I have a quick story for you. When I was a little boy, and I say probably 6 years old, we lived out in the country in northern Illinois, and we would go out and we would play outside, because of course we'd play outside. Like, why would you ever spend any amount of time inside? And it snowed a lot where we lived. We ended up with, when I was a kid, snow like up to my waist, right? Which, I mean, I was not 6'1" when I was a little kid, but I'd have snow up to my waist, and I would love it, and I would go out, and I would play, and we were out in the country far enough from the road that Mom wouldn't care if I went out and played for a while and came back in. So I would go outside, and my mother was out there with me. I remember this vividly. She said, "It's time for dinner. It's time to come in." So I turn around, and I look down, and my gloves aren't on my hands. Now, I know I had gloves on my hands when I walked outside and when I started playing, and these were my Ninja Turtle gloves. Okay, now, anybody under 25 years old in this room will understand Ninja Turtle gloves are not something you lose, right? And these were a birthday present. Like, I loved these gloves, and they actually kept my hands warm. Like, they were phenomenal. I was distraught. So I'm retracing my steps, which I can actually see because there's this big tunnel of me, right, going through the snow. So I'm looking for my gloves, and I'm digging, and my hands are getting red and redder and redder and redder, and can't find them. And I just lose it, right? I start bawling my eyes out and screaming, and I go inside, and when I get inside, my hands are all blistered, and all I can do is apologize to my parents for losing their present, right? Okay, so funny story. When I was in college, right, now this one a few of my students have heard, when I was in college, I pulled a muscle, and when you're 19 years old, a pulled muscle is a big deal. It's not a big deal. But it was a big deal then, right? I was in the worst pain of my life. Moms, don't look at me right now. I was in the worst pain of my life, right? So I take a couple like ibuprofen, doesn't do anything. By the end of the night, my friend AP, I don't know why that's his name, but that's what his name was in college, he takes me to the hospital, right? And we go to prompt care, and the nurse checks me out, and the doctor prescribes a couple of pills, and I'll have to go to the pharmacy to get them. But I say, "Doc, what can you do now? Right? I'm in pain now. What can you do?" Because, you know, as a 19-year-old, I know everything, so I can demand everything, and I know I'm in pain. Right? So I tell the doctor, "I need something now." He's like, "Well, I have a shot for you, but it's a thick serum, and most of you who have had thick shots know that you can't get those in your arm." So I understood the term "turn the other cheek" in a whole new aspect after this. So they gave me the shot, he leaves the room. He comes back a few minutes later and he asks, "How are you?" And I said, "Who are you?" I had no idea. I was good, right? Pain was gone. So my friend AP takes me home. But we stop at Walgreens first. And on the way to Walgreens, he's driving like 70 mile an hour in town, right? Not okay. Like, you can't drive like that in town. And this is in sleepy Lincoln, which you just can't do that. And this is like, they're just going like through school zones, and he's just speeding through, blowing stop signs. I'm telling him to slow down. He just won't do it. So we get to the pharmacy, and he parks in a handicap spot. I said, dude, come on. I don't need this. He puts me in a wheelchair and like starts popping wheelies and going around the aisles. I'm like, dude, stop. This is not okay. We get home. We're on our way home, and there's this railroad tracks before you get to campus, and he floors it. And the truck leaves the ground. And I said, stop, pull over. He opened the door. I lost it right there on the grass, and I went to bed. All right, I was not friends with AP after this. I saw him in the lunch in the cafeteria the next day, and I sat down next to him. I said, AP, man, what were you thinking? And he tries his hardest to keep a straight face. He just busts out laughing. I said, what is so funny? I can't believe you did that to me. You knew I was in pain, and you knew this medicine was going to make me sick. And he said, Chaz, I think we have two different stories of what happened last night. He said, let me tell you my version. So he says, we leave the doctor's office, we leave the hospital, and I'm driving maybe 15 mile an hour, 10 mile an hour, and you are just screaming like an idiot. slow down, stop blowing stop signs. And we get to Walgreens, and you swear up and down we're in a handicap space, but we're nowhere near a handicap space, and you demand to be put in a wheelchair. And as I'm wheeling you around like an old lady, you're going, whee! Making these race car noises while you're going. And then when we get to campus, on the way to campus, we get to the railroad tracks, and I inch over them, and you just lose your stuff, and then you throw up in my car. We have very different understandings of that night. So stories have an ability to bring emotion out in us, right? But there's an important part to story that I think we forget, and that's perspective. So my friends here are going to tell us a few stories that we label testimonies. Okay, now a couple definitions real quick. Story, when we say story, we don't mean a made-up fable, right? We mean an experience that we are sharing from our perspective, right? And when we say testimony, we're not just talking about the moment that we met Jesus. That is absolutely a testimony, but I believe that we have multiple testimonies throughout our lives. Right, we have multiple moments in our lives where faith becomes that much more real to us. And these are some of the stories that my friends here are going to share. Ellie, why don't you start for us? Oh, yeah, I thought they gave it to you. I'm sorry. Sure. They're going to be on purple. Would you please, mic stand?
Hi, so my name is Ellie Tenike, and I am a pastor's child. Being a pastor's child, I have grown up with Christ in my life. There really isn't, I mean, I've always grown up with Christ. He's always been there on Sunday mornings. I'd always get up, I'd go to church, I'd see my friends, I'd go to Sunday school, and then I'd come home. That was just my regular schedule, and it was good. I was used to it, everything was fine. And then about 2 years ago, my great aunt got died with Lyme disease. She had it for a while before she finally died, and she fought through it, but she ended up losing her life to Lyme disease. It was a very hard thing for my family at that time, because especially for me, because it was the first death that I've ever experienced in my family. I knew that my dad did funerals, and I always thought, oh, okay, I'm sad for those people, but hey, he just went to go see God. It's no big deal. But then when it actually happened to me, and I knew her, and I loved her, and I talked to her, it was a very different story. I was confused of what had just happened, because I didn't know. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know how to think of it. I was scared, and I didn't know how to tell my parents how I felt sometimes, because honestly, I didn't know how I felt. I had just experienced a death in my family that a few weeks beforehand, I talked to her, and I laughed with her, and now I going to do that anymore. And then one night, I sat in my bed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I prayed about my aunt, and please help me get over this and help me deal with this and help me be not confused. And he answered my prayers, and I was not confused anymore. I did not feel scared anymore of what happened. I could tell my parents how I felt and how confused I was, but now I'm not, because I prayed about it, and he answered it, and he helped me through it. And while I was praying, I thought to myself, wow, how could a God give his only son to us as sinners and love us and forgive us for everything we do and be with us, and all we have to do is be with him and believe in him and love him? And I didn't want to go any longer without God being right by my side all of the way. And so that death helped me get closer to God, because God was there for me in my roughest times, and he'll always be there for me.
Thank you. Will you give her thanks, please? Thank you for sharing. So you say that God answered you. Can you explain that a little bit?
God didn't whisper in my ear. He didn't say, "Hey, Ellie, it's okay, you're fine." No, he helped me calm down. Mm. He helped me just take a big look at the situation of what just happened, and he helped me just have peace. Mm. And he helped me understand, and he helped me just pretty much understand and tell people how I felt and ask them questions about how I could deal with this.
Yeah, peace and understanding, absolutely. And how is the Ellie today different than the Ellie before?
Really, I've accepted Christ in my life, and with that, I pray all the time. I talk to him, and sometimes people give me weird looks in the hallways because I'm just talking to myself, but I'm like, it's okay, guys, I'm not crazy, I'm just talking to God right now. And I pray in the littlest of situations, like a test that's coming up, or just a homework question that I don't know the answer to. And I feel like he's with me all the time, and I understand what he's doing in my life.
Excellent. Thank you, Ellie. Absolutely. Thank you. All right. Kendra, I believe you have a story for us as well.
Okay, so my name is Kendra, and I was a camp kid. So I love to go to church camp. I've gone to church camp every year since basically I can remember. But that's where God ended for me. Like, I would go to camp, I would pray and read my Bible while I was there, but that's where it ended. So in about eighth grade, it was January, I had a cousin die, and it was painful because we were really close when we were kids. Well, I was a kid. But it also hurt to watch people around me go through all that pain. So I decided I would try to handle all this pain all by myself. And that didn't go so well. So I just kept trying to handle it, and things got worse and worse and worse. And finally, my mom noticed something was off with me. And we went to the doctor, and we found out that I had depression. So life went on. I kept trying to deal with it on my own. And then that spring, a friend invited me to youth group, and I started to learn more about God. And it was awesome because I had never really thought about that as a through the year thing. So anyway, things started to get better. And it was great because I didn't have to handle everything all alone anymore.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Please, please. So you say that that things changed. It went from a once a week, or I'm sorry, 1 week out of a year experience to a daily experience. Can you explain a little bit of how Kendra freshman year was different than Kendra walking into eighth grade?
Because after I decided that I was going to go to youth group a lot and learn more about God, I wasn't all alone anymore. Mm-hmm. So.
Excellent, excellent. Now, did God take your depression away?
No.
No. So what's different? How is it manageable?
I'm not alone in handling it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. All right. Matt is not a youth, if you're not
familiar. Oh, come on.
Familiar.
I was just getting ready to say something, but it's Youth Sunday, and here I am.
Most of you know... You're all aware that Matt is an elder here, but he's also a middle school youth leader, and I've asked him to share some of his story as well. Matt?
Well, this was when Lauren was born, and there were some, kind of make a long story short, we ran into some complications, and the baby's heart rate just kept just plummeting every time. Basically have a contraction, and so anyway, the doctor finally comes in and checks things out, and says, "We're going to surgery." And literally within, it took less than 10 seconds. I went from standing there holding Faith's hand, surrounded by a doctor and two or three nurses, and to standing in that room by myself. They didn't look at me. They didn't tell me anything. They didn't ask me anything. They were gone. And so, you're facing the first, probably the first real potential crisis that I had encountered in my life. And, you know, you're a 27-year-old grown man, so what's the first thing you do? You call your mom. So I call my mom, and I'm filling her in on what's going on. And she says, "How are you doing?" And I couldn't answer. I just lost it, burst into tears. And I'm standing there, and now I've moved out into the hallway of the hospital, and people are walking by and looking at me like I've got three heads. And so my grandparents just happened to be at my mom's house that day with mom. I think they were having lunch or something. And she said, "You know what?" She said, "Your grandma and grandpa are here. And we're all gonna pray." She said, "And you pray too." And so that's what I did. And again, standing there in the middle of the hallway in the hospital, and almost immediately, I just felt secure about what was gonna happen. Sure, I was still a little scared and a little nervous. But I knew after I prayed, and I could feel my mom and my grandparents praying for me, I knew that God was in control. Excuse me. And he had everything in his hands, and he was going to take care of it.
Thank you. So... Same sort of question we've been asking. What's different about the Matt that walked into that hospital and the Matt that walked out of that hospital?
Well, I think, I still am guilty of trying to fix things or deal with things on my own sometimes, but I'm much quicker now to just hand things over to God, things that I'm worried about and scared about and concerned about. And I don't know, Faith kind of gets upset with me sometimes. She feels like I don't get concerned or as worked up about things as I should. But it's not that. It's just that I know that my Heavenly Father is in control. He's got his hands on things and is going to guide them the way that he sees fit. And there couldn't be a better outcome than that. Hmm.
And how has this impacted your parenting?
Well, I wasn't a parent yet then. I think that, the longer I'm a parent and the more I deal with things with my kids, it has helped me understand more how God sees me as a parent to a child. I'd like to think it's made me help make me more patient with them, but I don't know if that's the case or not. I think that's the biggest thing, is that having kids just helps me understand how much God loves me.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Keep these guys a hand. Thank you, guys. Just sit there. As I've been talking to these three over the last couple weeks, I'm reminded that the grand majority of Jesus' ministry was spent telling stories. We call them parables, but it was spent teaching through story. And over the course of talking through these guys' stories, the words found and calm and peace and the idea of being with you, those things have been coming out and coming out and coming out. And I'm reminded of what we read in Luke 15. So Luke 15 is three parables back to back, right? So the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And the common ground between those three, I think, is pretty striking. So the chapter opens with, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" They're angry about the people, the company that he keeps. And he tells three stories about a shepherd, the owner of a coin, and a father who greatly love and are celebrating the return of their prospective lost items. Guys, I want you to think about two big ideas as we walk out of here this morning. Normally, I would say I want you to talk about this over lunch, but we had a delicious brunch this morning instead. So y'all are going to mill around and leave from here. So I want you to think about these two things. First, be aware of the stories that are around you. I'm a firm believer that we don't have one testimony. We have multiple testimonies throughout our lives, and we collect these stories. And if you're like me, if you're like these guys, you look for reasons to tell them. But when you're in the middle of your story, you're not really sure how it's going to turn out. So please be aware of the stories around you. Look for opportunities to enter someone else's story, to be the person that can point them to God, to be the person that can help right the ship, to be the person that can help interpret what God is trying to tell them. Sometimes, like I said, when you're in the midst of your stories, you're blind to what God is trying to say, because you're wrestling with the issues that you're dealing with. You're wrestling with the loss of someone close to you, or with depression, or with a really complicated situation that you cannot do anything about. And that's why it's important to be on the lookout for moments where you can point someone to God. And the second thing that I'd like you to do, and guys, this is homework. Are you ready? Is that your ready face? This is your homework this morning. Share your story. You have each been touched by God in a unique way. You have each been touched by God in a way that is totally you. Whether that is the story of when you came to faith, or whether that is the story of when faith became real for you, you are all uniquely gifted with a story. Share that story. You've each been touched by God. It would be a shame to not share that with somebody else.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org, or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.